Good evening, everybody. God bless you. Thank you for those that have taken the time to come out to Times Square Church this evening and those that are joining with us online. Thank God for those that are taking the time to pray. I don't know if there's ever been a time in history when prayer has been more important than it is right now. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. With the rise of disease around this world, literally threatening continents and countries, wars rising more violent than you and I have ever seen it, certainly in our lifetime. Society breaking down at every conceivable level. We're living in a generation where it's becoming a crime to believe in God. If ever there was a time to pray, it's now time to pray. Because I believe these words. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And God said at this time to his people Israel, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. There's times in history when only prayer is going to make a difference. We're living at a time very much like I spoke about on Sunday, when Paul the Apostle was in a vessel that was falling apart, when people had persisted on taking a journey that was going to end up without his intervention, it would have ended up in their destruction and all those people on that ship would have drowned. I believe that God would have spared Paul, but because Paul was a man of prayer, God not only spared him, but spared them too as well. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the things that he has done in the past, he is more than willing to do again in our generation if you and I are willing to believe it. If you and I are willing to believe that in spite of the bad news, in spite of the downward spiral of our present society, and in spite of all the people who seem to have run out of ideas and hope for the future, all of the speech, the condemning, the blaming that's going on around us, God still looks for a people who will pray. And that's what this meeting is about. We're not just here to pacify ourselves. We're here to believe God for the miraculous. We're here to believe that Jesus can do what he's always done throughout history. I was reading something today and I'd like to share it with you. It's about the 1905 spiritual awakening in America. Now, America has known great awakenings in our history. And who's to say that God won't bring one last awakening to this nation? I think if you and I have come to the place we have in history where we have all of the history, we have all the scripture, we have all the lessons, and we're not willing to believe God, then as I've said in the past, then you and I are a people to be pitied then in this gen. I happen to believe that it's in the heart of God and he longs to send an awakening. He didn't die on a cross 2,000 years ago to simply fold his arms at the last moments in history and let the rest of the world as we know it just head to hell unhindered. In that journey. No, he left his church here. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We're here to stand between death and heaven. 1905, when the news of the coming revival reached America, huge conferences of ministers met in New York, Chicago, and other cities to discuss what to do when it began in the U.S., and they met just in time. The 1905 awakening first burst out in the East, sweeping like a great fire through the eastern states. The Methodists in Philadelphia soon had over 6,000 new converts in trial memberships. The ministers of Atlantic City claimed there were only 50 adults left unconverted in a population of 60,000 people. Churches in New York City took in hundreds on a single Sunday, one recording 286 new converts, of which 217 were adults, 134 were men, and 60 the heads of families. The awakening then rolled like a tidal wave through the South, packing churches for prayer and confession, adding thousands to membership rolls. The First Baptist Church of Paducah added 1,000 in 2 months. The elderly pastor died from overwork. So pray for me, please, if you will. In the Middle West, churches were suddenly inundated by great crowds of seekers. Every store and factory building in Burlington, Iowa, let the employees go to service for dedication and intercession. The mayor of Denver declared a day of prayer, and by 10 a.m., churches were filled. By 11:30, almost all stores were closed. Every school was closed. The Colorado legislature closed. 12,000 attended prayer meetings in downtown theaters and halls. The impact was felt for years. What a change in Colorado from then to now. In the West, great demonstrations marched through Los Angeles streets. United Meetings pulled crowds of 180,000. The Grand Opera House in Los Angeles was filled at midnight with people seeking salvation. The Spirit fell on a handful of men seeking God for revival, and meetings broke out in the Azusa Street Chapel, which ran unending day and night for 3 years. Healings and miracles drew crowds from all over the United States, birthing the Pentecostal movement, which now exceeds 50 million believers worldwide. For 3 hours a day, businesses practically stopped in Portland, Oregon, while salesmen joined with their customers in prayer in the downtown churches. 200 department stores closed by agreement from 11 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Church membership in the 7 major denominations jumped by 870,389 people in 1906 alone. In 5 years, it had increased by 2 million and was still growing. This did not even include the gains of the younger denominations of Holiness or Pentecost, whose rate of increase was even greater. This 1905 awakening could well have added more than 5 to 10 million new converts to the American churches within the first decade of the century. The largest U.S. denomination in those days, the Methodists, declared that the revival had sparked the public conscience, overthrown corrupt officials, crossed party lines, and elected governors, senators, assemblymen, mayors, and district attorneys of recognized honesty. The people of Philadelphia threw the rascals out and put in a dedicated mayor. A wave of morality swept over the country, producing a revival of righteousness. Corruption in state and civic government encountered a setback for a dozen years, and the country was committed to a new degree of civic and national integrity until new forces of corruption came back in the 1920s following the First World War. I happen to believe that what God did then, He can do again today. I believe that with all my heart. It's so sad today that so many people don't know the history of this nation. But when you take time to read it, you realize the devil has tried to keep it hidden, because if God's people truly knew, we'd begin to pray again. We begin to say, Lord, what you did back then, you are well able to do again in our generation. And so, God, we're asking you for a spiritual awakening that would bring glory to your name, that would sweep our cities, our neighborhoods, our boroughs, our schools, our colleges, and everything the devil has taken generations to build up can be destroyed in a moment of time. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, God, for an awakening in America one more time before you come. We ask you, God, push back the tides and the floods of darkness. We ask you tonight as we pray to answer our prayer. We ask you to stretch out your hand through the internet and begin to heal people all over the world that are listening to us tonight and praying with us live. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to deliver the oppressed, set the prisoners free, give people who don't see a way out, give them spiritual vision again. Heal those that have been bruised in heart, and let this incredible treasure of the victory that was won on Calvary 2,000 years ago be revealed and released to people sitting alone in their homes tonight. Oh, Jesus Christ, we ask you as we pray tonight, there be a shout of glory around this world, oh God, as sons and daughters get up and begin to come home, as marriages are restored, as people make the decision not to kill that life in their womb, but to let that life that is born at birth of God, to let that child live. We ask, oh God, that men and women would be raised up who would take the reins of leadership in their communities, take the reins of leadership in their churches and their homes, and begin to lead this nation back in the ways of righteousness again. Father God, in Jesus' name, we implore you, we stand before your throne tonight to one more time glorify your name in our generation. One more time, Lord, we yield our bodies to you as a living sacrifice for your purposes, which is our reasonable service. We ask, oh God, if it be your will, Lord, that we will stay and we will work among those that are seeking Christ as Lord and Savior, no matter what kind of physical taxing it brings to our own bodies and our own time. Father, we thank you, God. You will give us the heart. You'll give us the passion. You'll give us the word. God Almighty, you'll give us the zeal. You'll give us the vision. You'll give us the ability, Lord, to do this work you've called us to do. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, we lift up New York City before you tonight. And God Almighty, we're praying for every church of every denomination that you would breathe on every house that was dedicated to your glory, to prayer and to the preaching of your word, whether or not anybody is still left there that even knows you. You are the God that can call the dead out of the grave. Lord God, you can speak, you can breathe, you can change, you can challenge. God Almighty, you brought bones out of a graveyard in Ezekiel's day. You can do that again in our day in New York City. Oh, Jesus, because we know that you're a God of mercy, we implore you tonight. We stand before you as your sons and daughters, and we ask you, God Almighty, one more time, let that mercy be known in the streets of New York City. Let it be known in the hearts and minds of our children who've been raised to believe there is no God. Let it be known in our colleges and our schools one more time. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, one more time we ask you to prayer meetings would break out in department stores, in businesses, on street corners, on park benches. There'd be such crowds trying to get into churches that there'd be no more room to get in because you're meeting with your people and you're beginning to answer prayer. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I'm asking, Lord, that you break down the resistance in our schools. God Almighty, God Almighty, consider the threatenings of godlessness now against our children in this nation. Those that are trying to make it a crime even to speak your name or to say anything from your word. Show them that you are God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Show them that they are only men and you are God. Father, we thank you for this with all of our hearts. My God, I pray tonight that men and women who are listening online would rise up and become men and women of God, that they would throw off the shackles of darkness, the bondage, oh God, that has found a lodging place in their minds, and lay hold of the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ and rise up one more time in the glory of God, for the sake of God, for the purposes of God, for the work of God, for the honor of God, that they would rise up. Lord, we thank you for this. My God, we're not letting this nation go down while your church is still here. We're not letting it be given over to darkness. We are not going to cower under the voices of the Goliaths of this generation. We are going to stand. We are going to pray. We are going to believe God. We're going to worship. We're going to live for God. We're going to speak for God. We're going to be a testimony of the living God in our generation. And Father, we thank you that when we pray tonight, your eyes are open and your ears are listening, because we see your character in the testimony of Scripture, that you still seek to heal again. That which looks to be irretrievably broken, you seek to heal it. We believe this with all of our hearts, and we stand on it, and we come to pray, we come to rejoice, we come to shout, we come to declare the victory tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, mighty God. Let God arise. Let's sing that tonight, Ivory, if we can. Let God arise. Stand up, folks, and let his enemies be scattered. You sing it at home. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise God. We have prayer requests that are flooding in this evening from everywhere. A prayer for a pastor in his church and his orphanage in Sierra Leone. They just lost a 20-year-old orphan, Priscilla, due to Ebola. And we're going to pray for them, that God keep them, especially in the orphanage. And here's one from Glen Oaks, New York, somebody who's with us live this evening. Please pray for Nathaniel, who's a 13-year-old child who has severe anxiety. We're going to pray for Nathaniel tonight, but I'd also like, if you would have Nathaniel call me, please. I'd like to talk with that young man, if I might. So you can call Times Square Church at 212-541-6300 and make that at about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, if you will, Eastern time. I'd like to talk to Nathaniel. So they'll put the call through to me. And we're going to believe that Nathaniel's going to be set free from fear. We're going to believe that. And so many people need deliverance, and their families need help. Pray for this is Cape Town, South Africa. Pray for the salvation of my daughter and for God to deliver her from drugs. She has 3 children. Another one, I've lived under extreme rejection here in the U.S. from my parents. Please pray for love and for healing. California. Pray for me. I'm a pastor and a missionary from Mexico. I'm sad and depressed. I need a miracle in my ministry. We're going to pray for you, my friend, in California. Texas, pray for Nina and her beloved dog in quarantine. She contracted Ebola from the Liberian man who died in the USA. She's fighting for her life. So we're going to pray for Nina in Texas tonight. From Alaska, thank you for praying for me and telling me you care and trusting God for deliverance from sin and meth addiction. I've been married 4 times. I remember you, Elizabeth. Thank God you're with us again this evening. And we are praying for you, and we do care. And don't you ever buy the lie that nobody cares about you. That's not true. Again, here in the U.S., please pray for me. I'm so sad and depressed. I feel so unworthy of love. I have no family, and people just want to use me. What's wrong with me, God? There's nothing wrong with you. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. He has a wonderful, wonderful purpose for your life. And there's nothing wrong with you. And the one thing God will not do is use you. You come in the way that you've been used. He'll glorify himself through your life. And he'll do something in you that's really beautiful. The scripture says he takes our ashes and he creates beauty out of it. So you come to him tonight unreservedly. Just give yourself into the arms of Jesus and watch what he's going to do with your life. Elizabeth writes from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Pray for Matthew. He's a prisoner to severe social anxiety, sexual sin, a sense of unworthiness. He condemns himself and he's full of paranoia. Please pray for his freedom. We will pray for that. In the U.S., I'm a Christian. Please pray for healing of AIDS, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression, and oppression, and arthritis, and also for peace. We will pray for you. Chattanooga, Tennessee. After being in ministry since 1978, I find myself possibly facing the door of a mental institution. Help me, Jesus. I can't take it anymore. Susan in Tennessee, we're going to pray for you tonight. You're not going to a mental institution. God's going to touch your mind. He's going to give you peace. I don't know about you, Susan, but we are done here in New York City being beat up by the devil. We're going to stand up and fight back. We're going to believe for victory. Saudi Arabia, a gentleman called Abdullah. I'm grateful you pray about my concerns. My sister passed away from cancer. I am searching for peace. Abdullah, the peace that you're searching for is found in Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He said, I give you peace, not like the world gives. The world doesn't give a very good peace, especially at this time we're living in. But the peace I give you is different than the world. Abdullah, open your heart tonight and invite Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, to come into your life, to forgive the wrong things that you have done. He promises that he will clean you from the inside. He'll put away the wrong things you've done, and he'll give you a new life. And it'll be a life that God gives you. It's a supernatural life that God gives you because he will come in and live inside of you and change you from the inside out. U.S., is there hope for a 51-year-old? I grew up in violence in a lukewarm home. I'm reactive and angry, and I need a godly character. Of course there's hope for you. There's hope for all of us who turn to Jesus Christ. He transforms lives from the inside out. There is hope. Open your heart to him. In Sweden, Stockholm, pray for me. I don't have a job. My finances are down the drain. I've become a burden to my family. I can't pay my bills. Oh, God, help me. This is Anna in Stockholm. We'll pray for you, Anna, tonight. And from Malaysia, please pray for me. I'm a mother of three with no help. God led me here to request for desperate prayer. This is here on this website to request desperate prayer to get out of financial debt. We're going to pray for you, Charmini, tonight in Malaysia. We're going to believe God for a miracle. I expect to see a praise report from you in the not-too-distant future. Swainsboro, Georgia, my son needs deliverance and salvation. He's addicted to drugs. U.S., I feel like I'm trapped in myself, and all I do is sinful stuff, and I want to get out. Well, Jesus came to set you free. He came to open prison doors. He came to heal those that are bruised and wounded. And if you let him, he'll set you free tonight. New York City, dear God, please help. Give me deliverance from suicidal thoughts and panic attacks. You're going to get your freedom tonight. We're believing God for that. Indiana, a trooper, Brian Hamilton, is being sued by an atheist and may lose his job because he presented her with a Christian salvation tract during a traffic stop. What have we come to in this country when you can't just share good news with somebody without the threat of losing your job over it? Brian Hamilton, we're going to pray for you tonight. Texas, I'm a difficult person. I'm older. I have cancer. I would like Jesus to redeem my personality and attitude and prepare me for heaven. Well, Glenda, you're going to get what you long for tonight. I believe that with all my heart. Something is rising inside of me. And I know the people here are feeling it as well. We serve a God of the miraculous. And he's about to do something in this nation that we have longed for so long. New York City, baby Josiah was born underdeveloped and is unable to breathe on his own. Please pray for his mom and dad, Tanya and Will Reno, are struggling and worried. We're going to pray for a miracle in your situation. New York City, I've been having extreme anxiety about my future and I feel stuck. I'm incapacitated with fear. Pray that I get the motivation to get up and go. In California, pray for Ronnie, a strong addiction to drugs. He's dying, needs deliverance and Christian rehab to help with recovery. In Jesus' name, we're going to pray for Ronnie in California tonight. In Malaga, Spain, pray for my friend Jenna. She's 23 and has cancer in her stomach. The doctors cannot save her. We need God. We're going to believe God for a miracle in Spain. I do believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is going to glorify his name one more time in the earth before he comes for his church. I believe it with everything in me. So we're going to pray tonight for those who need miracles. And as you pray, you're going to remember some of the things that I've read out to you, others that maybe you're reading on the screen that are coming in as the prayer meeting proceeds this evening. But we're going to pray that God heal those that are sick. He deliver those that are addicted. He give freedom to those that are imprisoned in their minds and in their hearts and in their bodies. We're going to pray for miracles in homes and families, for sons and daughters and moms and dads. I've had enough of this. I feel like David did when he walked into the camp of Israel and listened to that big mouth Goliath on the other side of the valley every morning and every evening. I've had enough of this. We're going to stand up. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God, and God is going to glorify his name. I believe that with all my heart. I'm going to ask tonight if you'd join in groups of five and six and form a circle around you, please, if you will. You may or may not be comfortable holding hands. If you're not, don't feel obliged to do that. But let's pray. Let's believe God. Pastor Patrick is going to come and lead us in prayer this evening. And as he does, lift your voice to God. And at home, lift your voice to God. Don't be silent tonight. Don't be silent because you're struggling. Don't be silent because the devil tries to convince you have no power with God. You lift your voice and you begin to pray for others and watch what God will do in your life this evening.
Hallelujah, God, we praise you tonight. We bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need. We thank you, O God, that you are indeed our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. So, Lord, we're not going to fear. Lord, we're not going to fear, though the things that, Lord, we've relied on in the past. Lord, though the things that this world tells us to rely on may crumble. Lord, those things that seem to provide, Lord, a stability of standing may seem to crumble round about us. Lord, the voices in our minds and hearts, Lord, and the voices of those around us may seem to say like that everything is over. Lord, that we're done. Nobody can help us. I thank you, God, that you are our help. You are a very present help. We lift our voices to you tonight. We cry out to the God who created the heavens and the earth. You are the possessor of heaven and earth. Lord Jesus, you own all things. We come to you and ask for miracles tonight. Lord, you see those that need a touch in their bodies. Lord, tonight you see those, oh God, that need a financial miracle. You see those that are believing, Lord, for unsaved loved ones to come home. Father, tonight you see those, oh God, who are believing Jesus for hope and restoration of a sense of being and purpose. Lord, we come against the thoughts of suicide. We come against every form of despair and depression in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are still our glory and the lifter of our heads. We ask that, Lord, you would lift the heads of all those whose heads are cast down, oh God. Those who have become, oh God, overwhelmed by their circumstances and situations. We're believing tonight, God, that you will touch them in a powerful way. God, that you'll minister to them, that you'll meet them right where they're at. We thank you for an anointing that still breaks and demolishes every stronghold, an anointing that breaks every chain, an anointing that sets the captives, the addicted free. Tonight we pray for that anointing. We pray for the Holy Spirit to fall, God, in every house, Lord, in every car, in every office, Lord, wherever this meeting is being streamed, here tonight and in the days ahead, that your presence would fall and, Lord, that you would break every yoke. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking the yokes in my life. Thank you for setting me free from years of fear, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free from years of, Lord, hatred and anger and bitterness. Thank you, oh God, for your power. I'm believing that you'll do no less for those that are believing tonight that have written in, oh God, and asked for prayer. Glorify your name, that this generation would know that you are the Lord. Glorify your name, oh God, in and through our lives. I pray that you would turn every prayer request, every cry into a praise report. And God, that we would testify to the nations. We would testify to those round about us of your goodness, Lord, of your mercy, of your loving kindness. God, that we would testify, oh God, that we would write in praise reports, Lord Jesus, and praise you for your faithfulness. Praise you for your goodness. Praise you that you are a God that is alive, a God that hears our cry and answers our prayer. God, we thank you tonight. We're believing you tonight for the miraculous. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you, God, that you are God Almighty. You are the El Shaddai. You are El Shaddai. You told Abraham, Lord, that he would have a son. You gave him a promise when it was impossible for him, Lord, in his own strength, Lord, to bring forth a son. God, you gave him a promise and you came back to him and told him, my name is El Shaddai, I'm God Almighty. I'm the all-powerful God, and what I've spoken, I will do. I am able to keep my word. I don't just say something, I do it. I back up my word with power. Thank you, God, for being the Almighty God. Thank you that nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. I thank you for, God, so many in the scriptures, Lord, that testify to this generation of your faithfulness and goodness. I thank you for the hundreds that are here tonight, Lord, that can testify of your faithfulness and goodness. Now let faith arise in the hearts of those that we're praying for. I pray that your peace that passes all understanding will flood their hearts and minds tonight in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I bless you in advance for what you're going to do. I bless you for what you're doing, oh God, even now as we pray, as you're answering prayer. Lord, we believe in you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for miracles. You are our healer. You are our provider. You are our deliverer. God, you are the one who saves us. You're the one who gives us a reason for living. You created us, oh God, in your image. And I thank you, oh God, Lord, that you have a plan for us. It's for good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. It doesn't matter who's on their deathbed tonight. It doesn't matter what has taken place in the past. I thank you, O Lord Jesus, that you rewrite. Lord, you write. You right every wrong, God, in our lives. I thank you, O God, for what you do, O God. I bless you tonight, O God, mighty God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, O God. Thank you for who you are, O God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you and being loved by you. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting. Thank you that we can come into your presence, Lord, and cry out to you and present our needs to you and know that you will meet every need. Because that's who you are. You are a loving Savior. You are a loving God. I thank you that you love us tonight. And Father, we bless you now. We praise you. We exalt your name. We exalt your name. We exalt your name tonight. We exalt your name, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's begin to give him thanks tonight. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for inviting us, commanding us to come into your presence and to make our petitions known. We bless you and we thank you for what you're going to do. You are God Almighty. There is nothing too difficult for you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You keep your promises, oh God. You will fulfill everything you've spoken. And you'll bring to pass, Lord, your word. You said everything else will pass away, but your word abides forever. We give you the highest praise, oh God. And we're going to testify of your goodness. We're going to tell everybody of your goodness and what you've done for us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I just saw a prayer request come in from ex-Vietnam vet who killed 140 people in Vietnam and wonders if he can be forgiven. Yes, you can, sir. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Lord loves you. He died for you. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I mean, it's to turn from a life of sin or doing wrong according to the word of God and to turn to doing right. And I came not only to call you to turn, but I came to give you the power to turn and to be a new person. And I came to die on the cross to cleanse you from all the wrong that you've done. Sir, you can be free. You can be totally, completely free. Thank God. God is doing marvelous things among families. I've been just reading this evening about situations that have been changed because people submitted a prayer request and they began to pray. From North Carolina, you prayed for our son and family while they moved from Los Angeles to Naples, Florida. God gave supernatural provision, a job, and a home. They give God the glory. And this gentleman, I'm assuming it's his father, he says they gave God the glory and they share their testimony with others. New Jersey, thanks, Father. Thank you, Lord. You've raised up my son from a dark place and restored him to functioning. He has a great job again and you are restoring his witness. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, Bill from Lawrenceville, New Jersey, who's with us live this evening, we rejoice with you for your son and for that testimony of what God has done in the life of your son. From Bronx, New York, thank you, Lord. My daughter is doing well in school. She's found some godly friends, and she's been using the gift that God has given her, a gift of music. And she's also dating a nice young man. Looks like it, the whole thing has come together for you, ma'am. Thank God for that. From Palmer, Alaska, my son is doing much better and is back to playing with his brother. Thank you for praying for Alaska. Well, thank you in Alaska for having the courage to submit so many prayer requests. I believe today, as I looked at it, is well over 2,100 prayer requests have come in from Alaska. God's doing something in Alaska. Don't you stop praying. Texas, thank you for praying. I've been able to see my son. I started a new job, and my mom might be able to spend more time with me. Thank you, Shonda, for sharing that with us this evening. From Ecuador, months ago, Carol asked for prayer. Her son-in-law, Steve, divorced her daughter, Kathy, and fled to Ecuador for a year. Today, Steve wants to reconcile. He repents for the pain that he has caused. God has answered your prayer. He's bringing your son-in-law home, even from Ecuador. Praise God. Finland, somebody writes in, says, there was a sudden chaos out of nowhere between me and a friend of mine. Now, God answered my prayers when I finally met my friend again. Things were better between us than ever before. Thank you, Jesus. At every level, in our families, our friends, the Lord is willing to restore if we are willing to pray. He can bring our sons and daughters from afar. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in my own life. I've watched God do the miraculous. Folks, let's believe God this evening. I'm going to ask Tyena, if you would come, please, and lead us in prayer for families. We're going to stay standing where we are, but please, everyone here, lift your hands to God and lift your voice as we pray. Your voice counts. Don't go down into silence. If you don't pray, there's nothing for God to answer. But when you begin to pray, oh, thank God, He hears your prayer and He'll begin to answer you. Let's pray for families, for restoration in families everywhere.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love the family, Lord God. Lord, the family is your ministry, Jesus. The family is where your heart is, my God. The family is what you made, Lord God, to show your love, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for broken families, Lord God, right now, that in the name of Jesus, that you would do such a work of healing tonight, my God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would bring the dad that's been away for years, oh God, bring him home, God. Lord, I pray for the mom, Lord God, who doesn't know how she's going to pay the bills, God. Lord, I pray that you would provide tonight, Lord God. Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would put food on the table, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would do a work of love, Lord God. Lord, where people who haven't spoken for years, oh God, bring reconciliation, oh God. Lord, you are the God of healing, oh God. You are the God who reconciles, Lord. That's your heart, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those children, Father God, that you're going to turn their hearts back to their parents, Lord God. Lord, their rebellious ways, that you would have mercy, my God. Lord, I thank you so much that you are so good, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, remember our families, oh God. Remember that you made them and that your heart is for them, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord God, that you are good. Lord God, I thank you so much that your heart is for love, Lord God. I thank you for who you're going to heal tonight, Lord God. We thank you tonight that tonight is a freedom night, Lord God. That your family, Lord, is a ministry where you're going to show your love, Lord. Lord, I pray that you're going to restore marriages, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would build radiant marriages in your name, God. Lord, those who are on the brink of divorce, Lord, turn it around, oh God. Satan, Lord, we say in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. Lord, we say that in the name of Jesus, the family belongs to Christ, oh God. Lord, we thank you, God, that there's nothing too difficult for you, Lord God. We thank you that all things are possible in your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Father God. Thank you for the praise reports, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord God. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
The Lord Jesus bless you so very, very, very much. I have a word of encouragement, particularly for those men and women who write in, who text, who suggest from the depths of their soul that there is something that God absolutely has to do in their life. And if God doesn't come through, then there is not going to be a very bright future. The Bible tells us at a certain point that there was a woman who had a son. She couldn't feed him. Her husband had died. There was a famine in the land. There was no provision, nothing, no food in the cupboards. But God came to her, and he said to her, there is someone else who has a need. You don't know that person. You've not met that person, but they are on their way to you, and I want you to provide for them. Remember, she had nothing. She was alone with her son. They had one last meal that they were planning to eat, and they expected that they were going to die after that. The Bible talks about this man who came into her life, who came to her home. This man was a servant of the Lord. He had spoken some things on behalf of the Lord, and he was, even though a servant of God, he was in need as much as she was. He had nothing. He came to her, and he asked her to take what little she had and to help him, to feed him, to give to him. And the Bible makes it clear that she was a bit concerned because her thought was, I don't have anything for myself. I can barely feed myself. I have nothing for my son. We are about to eat our last meal and die. But the Bible says that before the man came to her, the Lord had commanded her. In fact, the Lord said to the man that there is a widow that I've commanded to feed you. So it wasn't as though the man was coming to her and asking her something that she didn't already understand and that she didn't already expect, but she needed somebody to draw it out of her. She knew that it was her responsibility to give. She knew that it was her responsibility to provide, even when she felt that she had no provision of her own. Just like every Christian knows that it's our responsibility to pray for other people. It's our responsibility to care for other people. It's our responsibility to reach out for other people. We don't necessarily need anyone to tell us that initially, but sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, we need someone to draw it out of us. So now somebody comes to her, and he says simply to her what God had already said. It's a picture of a person who has a personal need, and yet somebody says, would you pray for me? Or would you provide for me? Would you help me? And it's not a strange thing that they should come to us that way, because as Christians, it's already been given to us to give others. But when we go through our difficult times, sometimes we need someone to help us along. Now, Elijah, when he comes to this woman, he represents spiritual leadership. So all of a sudden, this is a woman who has nothing, and yet the Lord says to her, support people who are in leadership. Just be there for them. Volunteer. Do what you can. Now, he's asking her to do this in her need. He's saying, even though you feel as though you have nothing to give, you have nothing to offer, he said, I know what you need. I know that you need a miracle. I know that you need something to happen that's going to change your future. I know your husband has died, and I know you need your maker to be your husband. You need your maker to be your provider. But I'm going to ask you to do something in the interim. I'm going to ask you to give to the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to give your services. Many people at this stage, you might not have a job. You might not have any money, but you can still help. You can still volunteer. You can still give. You can still pray. You can still pray for your leadership. You might feel as though I can't even pray. I have nothing to give. And yet God has commanded you to give and commanded you to give out of what you think is nothing. But the awesome thing about God is when he gives the command, he also gives the grace. When he gives the command, he also gives the provision. And somehow, sometimes the only way that you and I can know that we have something to give is the fact that God commands us to give it. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's the only proof that God has provided for us is that he expects from us. So now the privilege of serving the community, serving spiritual leadership, giving to the church of God, or the idea of simply giving to someone who's in need. Elijah doesn't just represent spiritual leadership. He's hungry. He's simply a hungry man. And he comes to her door, and she has nothing. And yet the Lord says to her, I have commanded you to do this thing. And as you and I know, with every commandment, there is grace. You and I will never be commanded of God to do anything that he doesn't also give us the grace to accomplish. And so sometimes we have to take of what little we have. The Bible talks to us about another widow who just had two mites. I don't even know what a mite is, but I know it sounds small, right? You know what I mean? You know, it's a couple of dollars, a couple of pennies, I don't know. But she had two of them, right? You know what I mean? And the fact is, she could have only given one, and she would have still given five times as much as the tithe ordinarily requires, right? You know what I mean? She would have given 50% rather than 10% and still kept one to herself. But in her particular case, she understood God wanted something specific from her. And what the Lord says to us is, give everything that you are. You see what I mean? What he's saying is, look, if you're in a position where you see somebody who has a need, pray for them. Believe for them. Reach out to them. If you have something, you have a sandwich, give them a sandwich. Do what you can. But the Lord seems to suggest in that text that if this woman obeys him, that there is a miracle for her. But the miracle is contingent upon the fact that she's willing to be there for someone else. So when you and I are here on a Tuesday night or we're online on a Tuesday night, we see prayers rolling in front of us all the time. And sometimes we feel like, man, I can barely pray for myself. I can barely muster up the courage and the confidence to believe God for this. And yet you see that prayer across the screen, and God says, that person is in need. That person is hungry. He says, I know what you need, and I know the miracle that I'm looking to do in your life, but I'm asking you right now, I'm commanding you right now, I'm giving you the grace right now to pray for that person who is sending in their text and sending in their prayer request. And as you and I begin to do that, we're flowing in the gifts of God. We're flowing in the Spirit of God. We're flowing according to his compassion, according to his mercy, according to his character. All of a sudden, grace is flowing through us. All of a sudden, the heavenlies are open to us. All of a sudden, we're praying with God and not just to God. All of a sudden, he's able to pray through us. He's able to believe through us. And all of a sudden, our faith is strengthened and our courage is strengthened and our hope is strengthened. And before you know it, we're beginning to pray not only for that person, but pray for ourselves with a new kind of faith. What the Lord said to this woman was, you know, through Elijah, is give me first and then feed yourself. So you and I give to the Lord, and then all of a sudden, as a result, we're being fed. We're growing. And then before you know it, the Bible talks about how that the food that she had continued to multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply so that she was able to feed herself and she was able to feed her household. She was able to feed her son. And basically what the Lord is saying to you tonight and what he's saying to me is, I know you have a need. And I know sometimes you feel like there's nothing to work with. And I know sometimes you feel like, I have no future. I'm going to do the best I can tonight, but come tomorrow, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to go on. Here's what God says. Pray for somebody. Believe for somebody. You see one of the prayer requests that are going by? Lock into one of those prayers and pray for that person as though you were praying for yourself. And pray for that person as though you're giving your last for them. Pray for that person as though everything that you're doing makes a difference. And before you know it, faith will rise in you. Strength will rise in you. Before you know it, God's grace will be flowing through you. Before you know it, you'll be taking on God's characteristics. You'll be taking on his compassion. Before you know it, you'll be believing God for great things. You'll be expecting miracles, and you will receive miracles. God will do something in your life that could never have happened if you had not chosen to give of what little you have. Now, we're going to pray, And I want you, wherever you are, I want you to pray with all of your might. I don't care how hard it is to give. You know as a Christian person that God has called you to be a giving person. And if you're not a Christian and you're listening and you're saying, I want to be a Christian, well, one of the first things you're going to learn about being a Christian is that there is something to this idea of love, of mercy, of compassion, of giving. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So now you go to Jesus and you say, Lord, help me. Give me your life so that I can pour out mine for somebody. And you watch what God does. This is a glorious time. Don't let this time pass you by. Brothers and sisters in Times Square Church, let's stand together and we're going to pray. And if you're going through a difficult time and you're saying, God, I just barely made it here tonight. I barely have anything to give. God has commanded you to give. That's why you're sitting here tonight. That's why you're standing here tonight. God has commanded you to give. And we're going to cry out to God and we're going to believe God for every person who's written in. We got over 40,000 prayers that have come in. We're going to believe God. We're going to hold on to one of those prayers. All we need to do is hold on to one. You hold on to one. I hold on to one. Somebody else holds on to one. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe. And we're going to say, God, you commanded me to give. So that means you gave me the grace to give. And even if I feel like I'm empty, I'm going to cry out to God because I know that my God is faithful. And if he asks me to do it, he's going to equip me to do it. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come together because you called us to come together. We are believing you because you commanded us to believe you. Lord, you have given us the grace, and the reason that we know we have something to give is because you have an expectation. Because you said, I know what I've invested in you, and now I'm asking you to care for somebody. I'm asking you to believe for somebody. I'm asking you to trust for somebody. I'm asking you to take hold of the horns of the altar. And I'm asking you to take hold of somebody's need. I'm asking you to take hold of somebody's concern. I'm asking you to believe for somebody who can't believe for themselves. I'm asking you to give of your two mites. I'm asking you to give your five loaves and your two fish. I'm asking you to give what God has invested in you. I'm asking you to take the talent that I've given you and bring it to the marketplace. I'm telling you not to hide it under a bushel. I'm telling you not to dig a hole and hide it there. I'm asking you to bring it to God. Bring your faith, what little you may have. Bring your hope, what little you may have. Bring your prayers, what little you may have. Bring your confidence, what little you may have. Bring it to God so that he can do a great thing through you. Bring it to God so that he can multiply it. Bring it to God so that he can feed people through it. Bring it to God so that he can help people through it. Bring it to God so that he can glorify his name through it. Bring it to God so that lives can be saved through it. Bring it to God so that miracles might be wrought through it. Bring it to God so that lives, so that hearts, so that families, so that societies, so that communities might be changed in the name of Jesus. Father, we don't have anything but what you've given us. We don't have any strength unless you've given it to us. We have nothing in our pockets, nothing in our hearts, nothing in our minds, nothing in our hands except what the Lord has done. So we come to you in faith. You've commanded it, oh Jesus. Draw it out of us, oh God. Draw out that investment, oh Jesus. We know that you have given it to us before anyone asks it of us. We know that you have commanded us before anyone else has come to us. You have provided this life for us. You have made us a well that overflows. You said that out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. You have made us light. You have made us salt. You have made us healing. You have made us miracles. You have made us revival. You have done it by your name. You have done it by your grace. You have done it by your power. We can give in this generation. We can make a difference in this world, not because of anything in ourselves, but because you have commanded it. God, we pray for anyone who feels empty tonight. Anyone who feels like a dry well tonight. We pray that you remind us that you have filled us with your Spirit. You have given us your word. You have covered us with your covenant grace, with your covenant mercy, with your covenant faithfulness. You have given us a great commission in this generation. You have made us the people of God. You have made us light. You have made us salt. You have made us your means of reaching this generation. You have made us your hands and your feet in this society. You've called us to feed the hungry. You've called us to support this work in this time, in this day. You've called us to speak a word in season to those who are weary. You've called us to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop the ears of the deaf, to give a song of praise to the mute, to cause leaping and dancing in the paralytic. You've called us, O Jesus, to make a difference in this generation. You've called us to see miracles and to be miracles. And so we're expecting that your name is going to be glorified just as you said it would. That you're going to use this church just as you said it would. Just as you said you're going to use us as Christians in this generation, we believe it. You spoke to us at the beginning of this service and told us that there would be a revival and awakening, and we expect it. We don't look to ourselves, we look to our God. Lord, fill the empty vessel. The one who feels like they have nothing to give, fill the empty vessel. Cause it so that the bread never runs out, that the cruse of oil never goes dry. Cause us to be able to feed our children day after day after day after day. Cause us to be able to make a difference time after time after time after time. Cause your name to be glorified again, O Jesus. Cause your praise to be seen in this generation. And we'll give you thanks for it. We'll believe you for it. We'll expect it. And we'll expect it to come through the vessels that you have chosen. We'll expect that you'll use us. The poorest among us, the weakest among us, you'll use us. We believe you for this, O Jesus, and we thank you for it. And let's give God praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you, we worship you. We expect great things from you. We expect your name is going to be glorified. You're going to use the weak. You're going to use the feeble. You're going to use those who have no strength in themselves. You're going to use the empty vessels. You're going to use the dry branch. You're going to use the widow. You're going to use those who need you. God, those who cry out to you. Those who can't do anything in their own strength. You're going to use, oh Jesus, as our pastor reminds us, that the poor, the afflicted, God, the weak, those are the ones who will gain the prey. We thank you for that, oh Jesus, and we bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Bless the Lord. That's why the scripture says, give and it shall be given you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Give of what you have. The little resource that you have, start. We've often shared at this church here in New York City, if all you have is a sandwich, give half to your neighbor that has none, or that kid that's going to school without lunch. Just learn to become a giving people. We're not talking about giving and offerings in church, as wonderful as that may be. This is not about that. This is about giving what you have for the sake of the need of others. And you watch God begin to pour into you and pour through you. I thank God for that with all my heart. That is so resonates in my heart tonight, what Pastor William has had to say. Take what you have, and the Lord will use the weak vessel, the dry branch, the barren womb. He'll take us if we will give to his work what he entrusts us with. You know, it's funny. It seems that we just start here and the evening is over. Isn't it amazing how fast the time goes when we gather together to pray and to believe God? I want to really encourage those that are with us online this evening. Firstly, you can go to the website that you're actually on now at www.pray.org, and you can look at prayer requests. You can click on and tell people you're praying. You can submit a comment and encourage somebody if you've gone through something similar. There's over 41,000 prayer requests now from 135 countries. People are with us this evening from all over the world. We thank God for that with all of our heart. I want to encourage you, those that are online, join us here in New York City. If you're new tonight, we tell you to get up and close your blinds. If you don't much care, if your neighbors think you're crazy anyway, then don't close your blinds and just stand up and begin to praise God and declare your freedom. We sing this song at the end of every Tuesday night prayer meeting. It's called Freedom. And there's part of the song that says, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. You take your freedom. Jesus Christ came to set you free. To free from the fear of dying, free from the fear of tomorrow, free from the fear of lack of provision, free from the fear of failure, free from fear. No matter what happens around you, Jesus Christ came to set you free, to give you a hope, an assured life, an expected end, and heaven at the end when it's all over. So join us tonight. Let's sing it with all of our heart. Freedom, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. By God's grace, I am free. Hallelujah. For those that are with us online live this evening, please remember to tell your friends about this meeting. You might even want to invite your pastor to stream along, because churches are welcome to join with us on Tuesday night, and we hope that many will do that. Let your friends know that we're praying and God is answering prayer. We have 41,805 prayer requests and 2,215 answers to prayer. Thank God. From 135 countries, truly, we are living in a remarkable day, my brother, my sister. We fast with you. For those that are with us online, we stop eating Monday at midnight, and we fast right through till after this service on Tuesday. Every week we do this. There are certain things that just simply don't get shaken loose but by prayer and fasting. Jesus himself said that. We fast for you because we care, and we believe that God's going to set you free, give you a testimony, give you a song, because we're not willing to live in victory without you. We're going to see that God brings you along into the victory that many of us have come to know in our lives. That victory is going to be yours as well. So we want you to know you're not alone tonight. You might be alone in your apartment, alone in your car. You might even be on the subway just watching this on your cell phone right now. You don't even have a home to go to, but you're not alone. Jesus loves you, and there's 1,880 people here tonight that love you in New York City. We've gathered to pray for you. So we're going to turn the cameras around. And from New York City to those online, we want to say God bless you. See you next week at 7 o'clock. God bless you.